proclaiming the gospel throughout the world. Bill Winston Ministries is bringing lost souls to Jesus Christ and teaching them how to walk in a victorious life. We invite you to receive all the blessings that God has for your life. Bill Winston Ministries presents The Believer's Walk of Faith.
Hello, I'm Bill Winston, and welcome to another program. The program that you're watching is called The Believer's Walk of Faith, where we walk by faith and not by sight. We have an exciting program for you today. We're teaching on kingdom mentality. Now, this is a powerful teaching. You know, I'm a kingdom of God man. I believe in teaching on the things of the kingdom of God, just like Jesus did. Well, we're talking today about kingdom mentality and the fact that you and I are to go into some places and some dimensions and be able to do some things that a natural person cannot do. Now, we don't do them in our own strength. We do them in the strength and the power of God. Now, you and I were chosen, meaning that if you're watching me now and you're born again, the Bible says that we're a chosen generation. Another place he said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Another place he said, God chose us before the foundation of the world. So you and I have been chosen. Now, when I say chosen, I mean this. Let's say you have a group of people and you choose a person out of that group. Well, they've been chosen. Now, let's say you choose them and you bring them into a place and educate them and so forth. But now then you send them back into that group, that they will take that group and give that group or share with that group what they've learned so that that group can come into the same place that they can come into. Well, that's the same thing that happened about us, that we were chosen. So you were chosen out of your family. I mean, how many of you all have, you're the only one saved or only one that got saved at first in your family? True enough. Well, you're supposed to go back to that family and it's supposed to spread throughout your family. Well, how about your community? Same thing. You were chosen out of your country. Go to your country and spread the gospel. So I'm just saying we were chosen, but not chosen out to stay out. We were chosen out to be trained up, be sent back in. And what we need to be go in there and be effective is a kingdom mentality. Get your Bibles and pencils and papers ready. We're going into it right now. It's called kingdom mentality.
We got to take the gospel out. Say amen to this. We got to do the part that God has placed inside of us. So I said, you were chosen. The Bible says in Ephesians 1, I'm preaching now, you were chosen before the foundation of the world. Now, I tell you what chosen means. It means you were picked out of a group. I told you when I used to be unsaved, say unsaved, in no clubs, and I would go and be with the boys, and the lady would be looking at me, and I'd catch out the soreness out of my eye, and I'd say, hey, boys, I believe I've been chosen. And now, notice, I was with a group, and I was picked out of the group. You were with the group, and you were picked out of the group. Now, understand why you were picked out. You wasn't picked out to stay out. You were picked out to be educated in the kingdom and go back into that group and win them all to Christ. Keep them from going to hell. Okay, now. So what's happening here? The church. The church. Jesus didn't come to establish a denomination. Upon this rock I build my church. So, now you're the people who received, Jesus said he's the head of the church. So what do we have to do? You and me have to get a download. Say download. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. See, you got to put something on your hard drive. I didn't say hard head, I said hard drive. Are you following what I'm saying? And you're not supposed to, the church was never made to be detached from the world. You're supposed to be the one that's going out there feeding the poor, clothing the naked, going to the prison house. You're supposed to be the one. Oh, we've been sitting up in church. Oh, we've been in here. What we've been doing? Busy fighting about what color the carpet is and all that kind of business. Say amen to that. Man, I'm telling you, the war is out there. You want to go out in the field and fight. Say amen. You come in the church is like headquarters. You come in the headquarters, and it's like school. You come in here, you get taught by the Word of God, taught the Word of God. You're not to fight at headquarters. You're supposed to go out in the field and fight. And so your very presence out there is supposed to be an inspiration to those people, because there's something supposed to be flowing through you that's not flowing through the rest of those people. Say amen to that. Now, this is what I pray almost every day. I cease not to give thanks, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation. Keep going. In the knowledge of God. Your eyes of your understanding, come on, being enlightened that you may, come on, know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's all. That's all. Now, I went a step further. I back it up with Colossians chapter 1. Come on over there real quick. That's the next book over. Next book over, Colossians chapter 1. Amen? Amen. Now, is this the right bunch I'm talking to? Yeah. Folks, you may be in business. You may be in entertainment. You may be in something. But God says in Ephesians chapter 3 that in the last days, the manifold wisdom of God is going to come through the church. He's going to put new things through you that the world has never seen. Why? Because you're going to take leadership. When the righteous are in authority, the people what? Rejoice. There's ways to fix stuff that's wrong now. But he expects them to come through the church. That's what he's planned for. Amen. Does this make sense to you? Now, I'm teaching now. I'm just teaching because this part you need to know. So I put this on the back of it. Now, I do it myself, like I say. Verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the what? Knowledge of his will in all what? Wisdom and what else? Spiritual understanding, that you might walk what? Worthy of the Lord unto, come on, all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Keep going, increasing in the knowledge of God. Keep going, strength with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience with long suffering and joyfulness. Lord, have mercy. I'll do that. And then as God leads, I pray it for my family. As he leads, I pray it for the ministry and so forth. But that's what I do. Now, this is the knowledge of God. This is what he's talking about in 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay? And that's where the precious promises of God come. Now, what are we here to do as church? We have to shift our thinking from four walls, because we've had four walls, we've had, I'm just, please don't pass me by. I'm just a worm in the dust. I'm just, I'm so rejected and disadvantaged and all that. In other words, all that unworthy talk. But then if you move further, you see how Jesus lived and how, as he is, so are we to be in this world. So we are supposed to be masters. The Bible calls him over in Revelation 19, the king of who? Kings. So we're to be royalty. We're masters. Jesus was master over Satan and all of his forces. He was fearless in storms. He had no sense of inferiority, even in the face of death or disease. He had no sense of lack, no sense of rejection and shame. And consciousness, he was always conscious of his sonship, and he was totally free from sin consciousness. The Bible says in this scripture that your sins and your iniquities, God will remember no more.
That means he forgot him. Now, if he forgot him, you forget him. Okay? So righteousness, consciousness. Awake to righteousness and sin not. I was playing tennis the other day, and the instructor told me. He said, don't be thinking so much about not making a mistake. Just think about winning. I said, boy, that's simple. I'm thinking about not losing. And that's not the deal. The deal is to focus on winning. They tell me if you drive a car and you look too hard at the right-hand side of the road trying not to drive off, you'll go off. Because your focus is there. Put your focus on winning. Put your focus on righteousness. Not trying not to sin. All right, so when you go out into the world, you will not fail. When you go out into the world, you will not fail. When you go out into the world, you will not fail. Let's turn to John chapter 16, please. John chapter 16. John 16 and verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have what? Tribulation. But be of good what? Cheer. What happened? I have overcome the world. Satan has been deprived of his right and ability to hurt or destroy you or make you fail. Satan has been deprived of his right and ability to hurt or destroy you or make you fail. You didn't get it yet. Satan has been deprived of his right and ability to hurt or destroy you or make you fail. Let's go to one more. Psalms chapter 55, please. Psalms chapter 55. Look what it says in Psalms 55 and look at verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be what? Moved. And I had to go to an amplified translation to understand that. It says, cast your burdens upon the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved, to be made to slip, to fall, or to fail. Isn't that wonderful? So you can go into a business not in fear that you're going to fail. Isn't that wonderful? Now, notice where you got to put that. Put it down in here. Put it on the hard drive, see? Because as long as it's just intellectual, there's no power to it. So you got to put it down inside of here. So the church is supposed to go into the world. The spiritual darkness of this world has gone unchallenged for decades. It's time for the church to get violent. And when I say violent, I mean coming out of the book of Matthew, the violent take it by what? By force. We are the ones and coming against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world because they're the ones that are causing the people to hold things. They're the ones that are causing people to be trapped into a system. But we are coming and we're going to take back people. We're going to take back property. Watch this. And we're going to dismantle the system. Say amen to that. We didn't come to go coexist with the system. We came to destroy the system. Say amen to that. So now, when we are coming here, we're going to have to act a little differently. One of the things that we're going to have to do is we're going to have to get a kingdom mentality. A kingdom mentality. Now, the first step to that is what I told you, that the church is not a denomination. The church, you got to go from denominational mindedness to kingdom minded. And when you go to kingdom minded, it might seem that the principalities and the powers of darkness and all of that, it might seem that they're powerful. But when a kingdom minded person comes on the scene, Satan will bow his knee. I'm telling you, that's what happened to Jesus. When here's this demoniac Then this man was wild out of his mind over in Mark chapter 5. And here he was, and Jesus them had come over to the other side in the boat. And in that boat, while they were traveling, a storm came up. This storm was out to sink that boat. And the disciples, who most were fishermen, even cried out for fear, and they challenged him. He was asleep there. They said, "Don't you care that we're about to die?" I'm putting it in my own words now. And he woke up, and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, what? "Peace, be still." Now, this is very interesting. After that, he turned to them. He said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Now, you and I left off last time over in Micah chapter 4, where it asks us a question. Is there no king in you? See, a king decrees a thing. Lord have mercy. I said a king decrees a thing. And the word decree is an old English word. It means to legislate. You see, a king legislates stuff. And Jesus knew his kingship. He knew his royalty. And he got up and spoke to the storm. He didn't ask the Father to do anything about it. The Father had given him authority and to do something about it. But when we don't see ourselves as God sees us, it affects our behavior. You see, the enemy is trying to constantly let you see yourself inferior. Inferior to what? Inferior to death, inferior to disease, inferior to disaster, everything. But I got good news for you. We're going to paint a picture in you that you are above and not beneath. That you can speak to a mountain and command it to be removed, and it shall obey you. So after they get over to the other side, here comes a demoniac. Now this man was crying, he was tearing himself, he was naked, he was crying and hollering and so forth, and nobody could pass that way. You see, that sounds like a gang on the street that can't nobody pass that way. So Jesus came, and when he came up with kingdom-mindedness, even though the principalities and powers seem strong, when a kingdom-minded person comes on the scene, they will bow their knee. See, that, amen. See, go back to the Old Testament. Here is Joseph was brought down to Egypt as a slave. Am I right about it? But because of Joseph's kingdom-mindedness, he saw himself as a king. And do you know how you see yourself is how you gonna rise? You will not rise any higher than you see yourself rising. So what happened? He got raised up to prime minister, and after that, the king, Pharaoh, said, "Listen, you ride in the chariot right behind me. As a matter of fact, when they pass you, I'm going to tell them, or when you pass, I'm going to tell them to bow the knee." The Bible says, at the name of Jesus, come on, come on, every demonic knee is going to bow. I'm saying, if you come in a room, I'm telling you, look at Smith Wigglesworth. Look at the people who were kingdom-minded. They would come in a room, and demons would act up. They, "Oh, we know who you are. We know who you are. We saw you in the Philippines." I'm telling you, they are afraid of kingdom-minded people. Oh, you can have the kingdom in you, but are you kingdom-minded, man? You've got to hear what I'm saying. See, you got to know who you are when you coming in that room. Every knee got to bow. Everything that is in chaos is going to come in order. Am I right about it? Now start walking like you somebody. Come on, start talking like you. Get your shoulders back. Now we got to be trained in this thing. Because the job of the Holy Spirit is a teacher. He got to teach you how to talk right. Because there's certain things royalty don't say. Come on now. See, you're from another government. Say another government. And the government that you're from is a kingdom of God. Say kingdom of God. And the government that you're in is a democracy. It's different from the government of the kingdom. You see, for you to fully function in the kingdom of God, you need kingdom-mindedness. Because if you have democratic or democracy-mindedness trying to function fully in the kingdom of God, it will hinder you and frustrate you. What you got to do is in the kingdom of God, it is a theocracy. It is one man, one rule. And when God sends you into the earth, he sends you as a king. And when you come in as a king don't need nobody to help him vote on nothing. You see, in a democracy, we vote. Don't we vote? And we, because we vote, we can protest. Well, in the kingdom, you can't protest, man. Whatever I legislate, whatever I bind, come on, whatever I loose. Do y'all see what I'm talking about? That's why this guy called me on the phone. He said, Pastor, I want to hook you up with this gentleman. I said, okay. He hooked me up with him, and I started talking. He said, oh, Reverend, he said, I was just impressed. He said, I came to a meeting and heard you talk on the kingdom of God. He said, oh, my goodness, first time I heard somebody talking about that on the level that I've been dealing with. He said, I went to down in South America and went down to one of the nations, and I went back there in Colombia, went back to the drug cartel. He said, I started talking kingdom, and when I started talking kingdom, got the drug dealer saved. And then he said, I came back, and the policeman was so impressed until they wanted me to come to the police department. I said, I went there and started talking kingdom and got the police saved. He said, then I went to the prison, and he said, I got them saved, and they're still saving other prisoners right now. He said, now the judges and the Supreme Court have asked me to come and teach them about the kingdom. I'm telling you, the kingdom rules over everything. The power comes with it. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power. The gospel is the power. A king don't have to get down and do it himself. A king speaks, and with him are angels. We got angels with us everywhere we go. We have an entourage of angels making ready everywhere we go, man. If you believe it, it'll work.
Praise the Lord. I trust that you enjoy that teaching. Now, that's called kingdom mentality. Now, what happens is you and I are supposed to go out into the world and not only just affect this world and touch this world with God's love, but to transform this world into a kingdom culture. Now, up till now, the spirits of darkness in this world had really been unchallenged. I mean, they've been unchallenged for decades. But now the church is getting enough word in it that we can go out and the violent take it by force. Now, we're not talking about violent in terms of against people. We're talking about violence against the spirits of darkness so that we can break the power of the devil over people's minds. So I'm saying when you kingdom-minded and you know it and go out in that world, those spirits will bow the knee. Glory to God. This is a powerful series. Now, what it does is it stirs up something inside of you, wakes up something, and lets you know who you are in Christ so that you can go out and be effective, maybe in your job environment, or maybe you do relatives and families, and maybe they're having some kind of a family reunion or something like that. They'll see something different about you that they want to grab hold to. It's a powerful teaching. Now, the address and phone number are on your screen. I advise you strongly to order it right away. We've got people standing by, ready to turn your order around and get it right back out to you. Why? Because when people order, we know that they want it right now. So we're sending it right back out to you. But I guarantee you, you'll not only enjoy this teaching, but it will transform your thinking. And that's what you want. Because for you to transform the world, you've got to first be transformed yourself. It's a powerful teaching. Order it right away. Well, this is Bill Winston. That's all we have for this time. We'll see you next time. Until then, keep walking by faith.
When you were born again, you were born into a race of kings. In this new kingdom, you must renew your mind to a greater level of thinking, believing, and operating. The nature that is now on the inside of you is the nature of a ruler. It's time that you take your rightful place as a child of God and possess a kingdom mentality.
There are things that you can't receive if you have a low mindset. God's going to bring you up to His level and His class. You are His child. You are royalty. You are in His family. You are part of the kingdom of God.
In this new series by Dr. Bill Winston, you'll learn how to go beyond salvation into kingdom living.
You're not only a citizen, but you are an ambassador, and you're one that is sent here to take rulership over this entire earth, and we're going to train you up to do it. Praise God.
Order Understanding Our Divinity, Part 3, Kingdom Mentality today, and Dr. Winston will explain why we are not subjects of God, but sons and daughters, why the enemy cannot stand against a kingdom-minded person, why the world's problems are the responsibility of the church, how to decree a thing and it shall be established, and much more.
And there is King in you, and we're training you up so that your tongue will do the work for you, that once you speak it, angels will take off.
To order your copy of Understanding Our Divinity, Part 3, Kingdom Mentality, simply write to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois, 60303, by bank card at 1-800-711-9327, or online at www.bwm.org. If we are to truly reign as kings in this life, we must cultivate a kingdom mentality. Order your copy of Understanding Our Divinity, Part 3, Kingdom Mentality today. While in the Chicagoland area, Pastor Winston personally invites you to Living Word Christian Center. We're located at 7600 West Roosevelt Road in Forest Park, Illinois, just 20 minutes from downtown Chicago. Our Sunday services are at 7, 9, or 11:15 a.m. with a midweek Bible study Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. We have Spanish translators and sign language for the hearing impaired. A warm seat awaits you at Living Word Christian Center. For more information, please call 708-697-5000. Today's message is available in its entirety on CD or DVD when you use the product number on your screen by writing to Bill Winston Ministries, P.O. Box 947, Oak Park, Illinois, 60303, by bank card at 1-800-711-9327, or online at www.bwm.org. Next week on the Believer's Walk of Faith.
Not only are you going to be above, but you're going to help the people that are down underneath. Why? Because you've been chosen for this hour. Why? So the world will not go to hell. We ain't going to tolerate what's happening much longer, because there is a cause.